The time is 10 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland. Next up, Puppet Radio Theater.
Yeah. Okay, tape is running.
Join me, Robert Crawley, on the UBU Hour on Monday, November 3rd at 11 p.m. as I share an investigative report of a secret cult within the local Portland community.
Part of the followers' big thing is that they do like to subtly, psychologically, or overtly terrorize people.
Okay.
And I've said enough.
This in-depth investigation will even expose how this shadowy cult has infiltrated a certain media source in our local area.
And I know for a fact that there are quite a number of people that volunteer at... who are affiliated as followers.
That's 11 p.m. November 3rd on Monday night on the UBU Hour.
I'm kicking these people out of the closet because I've had to deal with them myself personally, and they're not very pleasant.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Triangle Productions run of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche, starting November 28th and ending on December 20th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. This is a comedic look at the window of 1956's Susan B. Anthony Society for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein, as they sit in their renovated community center, sharing secrets as the threat of atomic apocalypse nibbles at their heels. Again, that's the Triangle Productions performance of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Continuing with our series of interviews. Puppet Radio Theater. Here we go.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Put it on.
All right, you're on.
I'm on, but wait, no, you haven't put on the intro.
Yeah, I put on the intro there. I pressed play. There was no music, so we just have to do it live.
No, but the music comes later. You were just there when we put it on. Just hit play. You've heard nothing. To the listeners out there, you've heard nothing.
Ignore.
You'll see nothing.
You'll see nothing. You'll know nothing.
Just like that movie Tommy.
Continuing with our series of interviews with local candidates, we are interviewing our last candidate for this series, Turner D. Century. You are running for mayor of Portland this year.
I am running for mayor this year, and it's going to be a corking good year for my candidacy, a corking good year.
Well, you have some interesting positions that I would like to talk about.
What are they letting a woman into the radio studio for? This modernization has gone too far.
Well, KBOO is a very diverse radio station.
Diverse indeed. The next thing you know, they'll be allowing Chinamen in here.
Well, Mr. Century, let's just go right into it then.
Yes.
You have a very strong position on the bridges of Portland.
We are going to tear down the bridges once and for all. It was a terrible idea to build them. We've wound up connecting the beautiful and glorious city with Portland with
the riffraff of
East Portland, and now free to wander over the bridges anytime that they want and just pollute the general environment of the Skidmore District. It's disgusting, quite frankly.
Are you going to ask tax?
No, we're just going to blow them up with dynamite. I'm a get-it-done mayor.
All right, then. Well, let's talk about your other interesting ideas around transportation in
this
city. You have another one with roads,
That's right. I've got a strict no-road policy. The roads were a terrible idea. If you have any business to do at all in Portland, you can do it through the tunnels, which is why we shall be tearing up the roads and opening up the tunnels again. It's what made this city great.
So then without paved roads, will there just be dirt roads?
There'll just be dirt roads with, of course, skids for dragging the logs back and forth until, of course, the tunnels can be put into full operation again.
Well, I hear you pull quite well amongst the bicycle crowd in this city.
Yes, of course. I don't understand them and their tight jeans and their bicycles, but I do welcome their votes, that is, until after I am swept into office on their referendum, at which point they'll all be put into the workhouses.
Well, you know, a hot topic this year is the Measure 91, whether or not to legalize marijuana. Do you have a stance on that?
What?
Measure 91.
I say that if old Doc Abner's soothing syrup isn't good enough for you, you've got something that medical science can't cure, and I don't want to hear from you. Next question.
Well, I heard that you had an interesting debate with the current mayor, and apparently there was a bit of a throwdown at City Hall? Can you confirm or deny that?
I challenged him to fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs?
I wound up giving him a good thrashing with my cane. He'll not be coming around to my abode again.
I want to just interject that Cable does not endorse violence. And this is according to our fair practices that we have to interview every candidate. So, Mr. Turner.
You're a lovely lady, by the way, and I'd just like to say that if you were allowed to vote, I would court your vote in a heartbeat.
Actually,
for your listeners out there, if you don't vote for me, I will be over to your homes and to give you all a good thrashing with my buggy whip.
All right. Well, any other ideas for the city? Where do you see Portland being in the next 10, 20, even 50 years?
I would like to say that a vote for turn of the century is a vote for progress. Progress to the turn of the century, to the gay 90s, which is where I hope our fair city remains. Thank you very much.
One last question. What is your position on Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, that treacherous wall crawler has thwarted me at every possible opportunity, and I will not allow him to thwart me again.
Well, that's very interesting, Mr. Turner, because I believe the Portland Mercury just last week had an investigative story, and they accused you, actually, of being a minor character from the comic book Spider-Man.
Yes, well, Spider-Man and his infiltrators have been on the dole with the Portland Mercury for years now, and I would just like to say that I'm going to send my running mate, Bunko Kelly, around to their offices to give them a good talking to once he is released from the workhouse sometime in the next few years. So if you're listening out there, sleep with one eye open. Yes, that's all I have to say. This interview is over!
Thank you for listening, Kabu. And remember, vote tomorrow.
Vote often. That's it. This interview is over. You disgust me. I don't believe that they're allowing ladies into a place such as...
Man, they're not even trying anymore, are they?
I don't even know. They didn't even officially lock up. The door's wide open.
Yeah. You know, this place is just getting easier and easier to bust into. It's almost like they're onto us.
Uh-oh.
All right, well, let's go with the theme music.
Let's hit it.
Hollywood Radio Theater.
All righty, then.
We're
live on the air.
I know it.
Puppet Radio Theater, and I'm mad. I'm mad as a hatter.
Oh, actually, that's Floyd, who is mad.
I'm mad.
What's going on, Floyd?
I'm mad about this election thing.
What about the election?
This whole election is going on right now, and our rights are being just taken from us.
That's right. Puppet rights.
Our puppet rights. And so I've got some endorsements to make, and I know it goes against the rules, but I'm making some endorsements right here.
That's right. We're taking over this radio station.
We're taking over.
We're changing things.
So before we go on, though, I'm going to give out some numbers here because, you know, you, the listeners, this is a democracy. You can call on in. And if you do want to call in, that number is 503-231-8187.
That's right. We'll talk to you on the air. We'll talk about issues.
All right. Now,
what's up, Floyd?
I've had a lot of Halloween candy, so I'm kind of
your googly eyes are extra.
Yeah,
Google.
I'm gonna pop in. I'm gonna buy. You know, I've got some Tootsie Roll stuff stuck in there. Now, first off, of course, is the idea of governor. There's a governor being elected. Now, of course, as we know, there are two candidates running. And neither of them are the one man who should be governor of this state. Governor Tom McCall.
Right.
Which is why I am calling my endorsement for Governor Tom McCall.
But Governor Tom McCall's dead.
Governor Tom McCall is twice the man dead that any man is alive.
But you can't have a dead man be a political...
Why not? It didn't stop Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
What are you talking about?
What, he ran for a fifth term. He had been dead for 3.5 years, and he won, by golly.
You know... That's the last time I let you have coffee before watching PBS.
That was tea or yerba mate. Come on, think about it. Do you think Harry Truman was real? He was a puppet.
He was a puppet.
That's right. FDR was pulling his strings from the grave. Anyway, Tom McCall.
All right, so we're voting for Tom McCall.
Okay. I don't care.
I still have to fill out my ballot tonight.
Yeah. You better hurry up.
I'm totally going to do it.
Now, what's this other? What are some of these other... initiative, some of these other ballot opportunities.
Well, the big one, you know, amongst certain people is the Measure 91.
Hey,
Leela's pot.
Hey, man, you know, like...
We have some guests tonight.
Oh, God, it's that I smelled patchouli.
You know, I smelled something.
Hey, man,
hello,
you know, like...
Hi.
Hey, man.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, you know, like, my name is, like, River, you know?
Yeah, and I'm, like, Patchouli Mumbo, and we're so happy to be here.
And, like, you know, like if I had remembered to, like, fill out my, like, voter registration, I would be, like, totally voting for Measure.
Like, I wanted to vote, but I lost my driver's license in the 1800s, and, like, I haven't been able to get back there. I tried, and then I was in the 1700s. It's so confusing.
It's Measure 91, you stinking hippie. Measure 91, which is the ballot to legalize recreational use of marijuana.
Have you actually ever voted, or just do you just go to protest?
Hey, man, you know, like, I've never actually voted, but, you know, like, I, like, vote with my feet, you know, like, mostly.
You know, like, Julia Butterfly said that the most powerful thing you could do is vote at what you put at the end of your fork. So, like,
yeah.
Every time I have a meal, I think, I'm changing things.
Anyway, I'll tell you why I'm for this measure. Because
okay.
I know what it is. Is it Governor Tom McCall fan?
Yeah.
This is a trap.
What?
They're going to get all the hippies in one place.
What are you talking
once
about?
This thing is one, once this thing is made into law, they're going to say, all right, hippies, you can all smoke your Mary Jane, you reefer monkeys.
Uh-oh.
And then the next thing you know, they're going to be having a big party, and they're going to say, ha, surprise on you.
Uh-oh, they bet they're going to bring out the big hippie net.
That's right.
Hippie net, man.
What's like the hippie
what?
Net?
Oh, man, that's, like, not cool.
No, that's a really bad vibe. No,
Julie, I told you that voting was, like, just a scam, man. We've got to get out of here.
Let's go. All right, let's go hang out and just do, like, bang on some drums.
Man, I'm glad they're gone. Anyway, so that's why I am pro Measure 91, because it's like a big Operation Hippie Bait.
You know, if the hippies were taken out of Portland, that would wreck the economy.
I think that what
who
they
would
need...
Buy the, who
they
would
should
buy
have,
the incense?
They should just have some big, I don't know, a festival down in a park somewhere in Clackamas.
The tie-dye industry would just plummet.
Let them all swim and smoke legal marijuana.
You know, we do need to talk about one very, very important measure.
Which that, is?
I believe Measure 88.
Yeah.
The driver's license. Right? Oh,
we're
upset about this measure.
I'm boycotting that.
Oh, we're going to try to remain calm. You see, this gives driver's licenses to people that normally can't get driver's licenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a puppet, I thought I could get a driver's license.
It turns out that they were actually going to extend this to puppets.
Yes.
But it got squashed in committee.
Exactly. The original wording of this law said that puppets could get licenses. So then we wouldn't have to worry about being pulled over and not having any ID on us.
I always get pulled over every time. You know, that's just profiling.
Oh, total profiling. They see our neon fuzz, they pull us right over.
They think that, oh, we can't operate the vehicle safely. And they're right. We can operate the vehicle safely, but we still have the right to operate that vehicle.
You know what? If I was Pastel Peak, I'd never get pulled over.
I drove into a kindergarten playground a few weeks ago. I'm not proud of that.
You know, but I think... This
yeah.
law should be totally rewritten called the Puppet Empowerment Law.
It's really hard to get kid and their lunchbox out of the grill of your car.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's a bit of a downer. So let's before we go to the sketch, let's put out the number again.
Oh, say the number.
You
want to
call
number.
During this sketch? Give us a call at 503-231-8187 if you want to make your voice heard for democracy.
Right. If you want to talk about the issues.
Yeah, even if you're a stinking reefer monkey, we don't mind. Give us a call. We love everybody on this show.
Reefer monkeys should call in because then we don't have to smell you.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
503-231-8187. Now a sketch.
Yeah.
Suckiest birthday party ever.
Why are you always so negative, Dylan?
Dylan's right. It's been raining for hours, and your parents didn't even hire a clown. They don't even have a television. No wonder nobody showed up, Portia.
Oh, come on, guys. We can still have fun. Have some cake.
Gluten-free cake? It tastes like sawdust.
It's not my fault my mom has celiacs.
My dad told me that if kids really want something, they should send a wish to a leprechaun.
There's no such thing as leprechauns, stupid.
You don't know that. Come on. Let's try it.
I wish I wish for a leprechaun.
I wish a leprechaun would take us away from this lame party.
What's happening? What's that light?
Someone's stepping through.
Hello, boys and girls. I heard you wishing, and I've come all the way from Leprechaun Land.
Oh, my God!
I don't believe it.
Are you really a leprechaun?
As sure as the nose on your face, young lass.
Prove it.
I heard someone complaining that the birthday cake wasn't much to their liking. Well, perhaps you like these treats a bit more. Here you go. One for each of ye.
Larabars?
They were on sale at Grocery Outlet. They're also gluten-free. I understand one of your parents has celiacs. It's genetic, you know. Can't be too careful.
Are you gonna take us away to Magic Land?
Any place would suck less than this party.
Oh, you say that now. No time to dawdle. Take me hands, boys and girls. You're in Carpet Warehouse in Avon, Indiana. Tis a fine, magical place with a more than adequate selection for all your flooring needs.
A carpet store? But why?
I think I can field that question, Trixie.
Hello there, Sven. Children meet Sven. He's the general manager.
Hello, children, and welcome to Carpet Warehouse, the Midwest's second largest carpet store. First off, we're more than just a carpet store. We're a carpet superstore.
But I thought you were going to show us something magical.
Wait until Sven shows you the stain-resistant brands. You'll swear it's magic.
Couldn't you have taken us to an amusement park or something?
Or a candy factory?
Oh, my cousin Kevin can do all that. But you see, children, I'm the leprechaun of lesser expectations.
But why did we get you when we made our wish?
Yeah, luck of the draw. Sometimes you get the leprechaun you want, and sometimes you get the leprechaun you deserve.
Ahem. Step over this way, children. We have a lot of ground to cover. Pardon the pun. A little carpet joke. As the second largest carpet superstore in the Midwest, we have over 900 types of carpet.
Mind if I get some coffee, Sven? I've already seen the carpet.
It's in the break room. Help yourself. We'll start over here in the bees, which is everything from beige to brown. Now, the first thing you kids will want to know is how many shades of beige there are. And now we're at my favorite part of the tour, our stain-resistant brands. You there.
What? Me?
What's your name?
I'm Billy.
Here, Billy, take this soda pop. Go ahead. Take it.
Thanks, I guess.
No, no. Don't drink it. Spill it on that nice white carpet.
Gee, that looks like fun.
Trust me, the fun hasn't even started. I understand we have a birthday girl here today.
That's me.
Well, what's your name, birthday girl?
Portia.
Since today's your special day, you get to clean up the stain.
What?
Here's a rag. Just get down there and start scrubbing.
My, my, it's a day of wonders for you, lass. Well, Sven, I'm sure I speak for the children when I say we'd love to spend more time learning from you all about carpets and other things carpet-related. But it looks like it's time for the next leg of our adventure.
Wait, I have presents for all of you.
Is it candy?
Better than candy. Here's a carpet sample book for each of you.
Take them, children. You have to mind your manners in the Midwest.
See you next time, Trixie.
Where are you now?
It looks like an H&R Block.
Yeah, it's not a goddamn H&R Block, cocksucking H&R Block bastards. The Applebee's of goddamn tax accountancy.
Boys and girls, meet my friend Claude Jensen. He's a tax preparer.
An independent tax preparer. Last of a dying breed, thanks to those goddamn bastards at H&R Block. Goddamn cocksucking monopolists.
Mind your language, Claude. There are children present.
Oh, sorry, Trixie.
Do boys and girls know what a tax preparer does?
Something boring and stupid.
Something vital to our nation's economy.
You ask your parents how boring and stupid I am when they've got 12 hours to file and they mistakenly filled out a 1040Z when they should have filled the full Schedule C to account for self-employment tax. Yeah, they'll be busting down my door at 9:45 p.m. on the 15th. See if those cocksuckers at H&R Block will help them.
Hey, it smells funny in here.
Yeah, I'm between cleaning ladies.
Can I have some coffee?
I wouldn't drink that, kid. It's been there for days. I have some sank in the cupboard. The water from the tap is usually hot enough. There are some packets of Cremora and Sweetlow in the drawer somewhere. No sugar, though. Don't touch the stuff.
I want to go home!
We've still got another 45 minutes until the magic portal of lesser expectations recharges.
Fix yourself some Sanka. Well, where was I? Anyway, if your parents had any sort of self-employment income and used the 1040Z, they'd have an auditor up their asses so fast. They'd get the CP2000 and they'd be lost. That's why I'll tell them to use the Schedule C long form, which allows for itemized business deductions of all work-related expenses, minus, of course, reasonable depreciation based on work-related activities. To really understand the beauty of the Schedule C long form, you need to understand how depreciation is calculated using these simple charts. It'll even get more complicated when you have the domestic production activities deduction, and hopefully they won't have to file the alternative minimum tax or passive losses. Yeah, I remember one client back in 95 came crying to me about getting audited. Looked at his return, saw he'd itemized a jet ski. Turns out some jerk off at H&R Block told him he could as long as he had a photograph proving he'd used it for work. I got him off with minimal penalty. No non-compliance charges, H&R Block jerk-off.
Well, Claude, I think I speak for the children when I say we'd love nothing more than to sit here all day and listen to your fine and perfectly interesting stories concerning tax preparation. But the portal takes an hour to reset. Quickly, children, hold hands! Hold hands!
Always a pleasure, Trixie. Hey, the kids went a little heavy on the floor.
Sorry.
I wanna go home!
Afraid of the portal is on a special preset, a magical preset, and the next stop will be our most magical and culturally relevant adventure yet. Quickly, children, keep holding hands!
What the? This is more like it.
I recognize this from the movies. It's Coney Island.
Let's not get our hopes up quite yet, children.
Ah, it's another leprechaun with another group of kids.
Aye. That'd be me cousin, Kevin McGilligan, the leprechaun of hopes and dreams.
Taking your group for another amusement park trip, are you, Kevin?
A good thing, too. As afterwards, I'll be taking them to the candy and ice cream factory for free samples of every flavor.
That'll do their long-term oral hygiene no good.
You have a good time, Kevin. Meanwhile, I'll be taking me group into the matzo factory.
What?
But why did you bring us to the Coney Island?
Yeah, the matzo factory is across the street from the park. There's more to Brooklyn than traffic and hipsters, you know. Brooklyn is the number one exporter of matzah. But Rabbi Greenberg will tell you all about it.
Hello, Trixie. Hello, boys and girls. My name is Yehuda Greenberg, but you can call me Rabbi Greenberg. For the next 90 minutes, we're going to go on a fascinating tour through the history of a food for which my people are known, mainly matzah. Now, to understand why matzah, or unleavened bread, is so important to Jewish people, we have to go back many thousands of years to our days of bondage in Egypt.
Oh, this sucks.
Excuse me, little boy, don't go near the mixer. If you touch it, it's no longer kosher. Now, where was I? All right, Exodus. Two ingredients in Passover matzah are flour and water. Anything else and it's not considered kosher for Passover. Timing is also critical. The moment a flower touches the water, you have only 18 minutes from start to finish.
I want cotton candy.
Nah, I told you, lassie, that'll rot your teeth.
Even 1 minute longer and it's no longer kosher. In the old days, they had to time it with a series of egg timers. Nowadays, of course, I'm allowed to use my wristwatch. Do any of you boys or girls have any questions?
Are we done yet?
We still have 25 minutes before the portal returns. Rabbi Greenberg, let's go back to Exodus a bit. You can't underestimate the importance of a good education.
All right, Rixie. Now, most people assume that the Hebrews were used in Egypt as slaves to build the pyramids. This, however, has been proven to be false. In fact, it's more likely that my people were used in the less exciting business of building granaries and other farming-related tasks. And now, you children, you know everything there is to know about the history and preparation of matzo. Now comes the part I'm sure you all have been waiting for. I'm going to let you try a little bit of matzo.
Good, because I'm starving.
I haven't eaten anything in hours.
Bet you wish you'd taken that Larabar now, eh?
With a little piece of candy fruit jelly on the side, why not?
Oh no! I'm afraid there's no time for warm matzah and jelly candy, children. The portal's back. Should have gone easier on Exodus, Rabbi.
What you specifically said.
Hey, children! Hold hands! Hold hands!
Well, look at that. The sun's nearly set. Well, time sure flies when you're having fun, right, children?
My birthday!
Children? Ah, my work here is done. I'd best be making my way back to Leprechaun Land.
Kids? Portia, it's time for your friends to go home now. Look, they're all asleep. I guess the party must have tuckered them out.
Where did these carpet samples come from?
Whether it's sunny outside or cloudy and gray, you can think of a worse way to spend your day than with Trixie Gilligan, the Leprechaun of Lesser Expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that that song is going to be burning up the charts anytime soon.
You know, I know talent when I hear it, you know.
I know talent when I hear it.
Blind Willie. I discovered Blind Willie, frankly. So I think we should sign Trixie.
Let's sign that Trixie up. Uh-huh. We can find
him. Let's get him to play on cable, maybe.
He's the fourth most interesting leprechaun that I've ever met.
Ah.
So we got a number if you want to call. It's
503-231-8187. All right.
And if you're listening, give us a call. If you're not listening, also give us a call.
That's right.
We'd actually prefer people who aren't listening to give us a call. Because quite frankly, if you're listening to us, there might be something wrong with you.
There just might be. And you know, what's the email?
What the email is soylentcomedy@gmail.com. That is SOYLENT. comedy@gmail.com, or just go to soylentco.com.
Yes, because we have a website, we have Twitter, we're very busy puppets.
We've done everything except for really prepare a proper hour-long of comedy, but everything else we've done,
we are spot on.
We're spot on.
We can drive cars. Yeah. But
I'm not even going to be here next. You know where I'm going to be next month? I'm going to be in Norway.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm doing there?
What are you doing?
Hunting down Santa Claus. That's right. I'm going to get him before he can come here because I'm going to stop Christmas this year.
Oh, really? Yep. You're going to stop Christmas? Why?
I know where Santa lives. I hate it. And I'm going to find Santa while he's busy working, making toys for all the kids.
Well, those elves are oppressed.
Yeah, I'm going to bust a cap in Santa's fat ass.
Why don't you start the Elven Revolution?
Yeah, those elves, they're going to be pushing Santa into the guillotine.
We should make the elves unionize.
Yeah, well, yes. I tried to do that once. The Oompa Loompas. The Great Oompa Loompa Rebellion. You didn't hear about that, did you?
No.
All right. Well, anyway, back onto politics.
Back onto politics. Okay. Right. Here we go.
We got
what
a big vote tomorrow.
Election? Yes.
Well, let's
vote.
See. We've already talked about Measure 88, which I'm boycotting.
Yes, because it discriminates with puppets.
Then, of course, there's there's Measure 99, which is top tier primaries. I don't understand that one personally.
Yeah, that's a boring.
I'm
what's
a
what's the next one?
You know, I was born a one party man, and I'll die a one party man or puppet.
You know, what else is going on here?
Well, there's also the GMO labeling thing, which all the hippies are up in arms about.
Oh, but the hippies are crazy about this one.
You know, I don't understand why they don't trust Monsanto.
I don't know either.
You know, all I know, if I'm going to bite into a nice juicy apple that happens to have been, you know, mixed with Wolverine DNA, and it's going to claw at the inside of my throat while I'm eating it, I don't want to know about it. I want that to come as a pleasant surprise.
I thought the whole point of the paleo diet was to eat like a paleo.
Exactly.
So, you know, cavemen fought for their food.
They fought for their food. Do you think the cavemen went around looking at labels trying to decide if,
is this gluten free? Is it dairy free?
Did a Neanderthal go in there and have sex with a carrot and then produce some sort of high ridge brow Neanderthal vegetable? I don't think so.
No, it was the caveman versus that carrot.
Bam! That's exactly right. And that's why I don't know, I'm either for or against this. I'm not quite
sure.
We're
going to read it tomorrow.
We're going to read it probably tomorrow, 7:45.
You know, if those hippies were still here, we could ask their opinion, but I don't know.
We chased them away.
Lord.
Yeah, we scared them. There's also a whole bunch of other things, apparently.
Right. You know, they're probably spaying in the corner.
Yeah, I don't know. There might be another page on this newspaper, but I can't lick my thumb again, so getting fuzz on my... All right, so let's just play the next comedy sketch.
We're just going to play the next comedy sketch.
Yeah, 503-231-8187.
Exactly.
If you call in, you can be part of the show. If not, we're just going to eat the rest of our chicken and listen.
We should eat it on air.
That'll be exciting.
We're going to call it avant-garde radio.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
No doubt.
Boys, the networks are just thrilled with your work, thrilled with your output over the last several years. When people look back at the 70s, they'll talk about a golden age of television, but now they're hungry for more. Hungry for more!
More? But show about multiracial inner-city high school students is still burning up the Nielsens.
And the network loves show about multiracial inner-city high school students. They love it! But we've got the primetime slots of three networks to fill.
And PBS.
Put a cork in it, college boy.
Linda's right. She's a spunky, liberated 70s gal with her finger on the pulse of now.
If I were born a man, I'd have your job, Frank.
You would at that, Galinda. But let's skip the small talk because I see where you're going with this and I'm hip to it. It's 1976, for gosh sakes, and Paracom can't just rest on its laurels. Multiracial inner-city high school students is last year's golden goose.
What about cranky, upper, middle-class African-American and his affable wife? That was my baby.
And we all love you for it, Brad, but we need new ideas. Fresh ideas.
Well, I've been thinking about a few show ideas, actually. I'm not sure if they'll be any good.
No, Frank, tell us. You're a TV sitcom idea premise genius.
Well, I was thinking the other day. Why are there so few shows set in the Deep South? That's a huge demographic.
The Deep South, brilliant.
I'm intrigued, Frank. Go on.
My idea concerns two Southerners. Young men. Not brothers, but cousins. They're rebels, but in a good-natured way.
Good old boys.
Exactly.
What's the catch, Frank? I mean, what do these good old boys do?
Do? Oh, the usual hijinks, I guess.
What if they drove around? Fast! In a car of some sort.
Brilliant! Two Southern cousins driving around fast in a car of some sort. The American public will eat it up.
Wow. Two Southern cousins driving around fast in a car of some sort. What a premise. Why don't you, put a Confederate flag on the car and have the horn play Dixie just to make sure nobody misses that main specific plot point that these two Southern cousins driving around fast in a car of some sort are in the Deep South.
That's what I'm talking about. Fresh ideas. What a team. I knew there was a reason you were hired, college boy.
That and the fact that his father is the head of CBS.
Oh, lay off him, Brad. He pulls his weight. What other ideas do you have in that big, beautiful head of yours, Frank?
Well, I was thinking another idea might be a show about a woman. A single woman.
A single woman? I love it. The women's libbers will eat it up.
Put a sock in it, Brad.
They sure will, Brad. Because not only is she a single woman, She's a single mother.
Wait a minute, Frank. You mean she's a divorcee?
No, nothing like that. She's a widow.
Oh. Well, no one can blame her for that.
That's it? A single mother? What's the catch?
She's a waitress.
Whoa, a widow and a waitress. That sounds a bit complex for a TV show. Maybe it ought to be a feature-length film.
Wait, it gets better. This single mother widow waitress is sassy. She works in a diner, and in that diner are other waitresses.
Other sassy waitresses?
Two other sassy waitresses. One of them ditzy and sassy, the other extra sassy.
Three sassy waitresses. I love it. Start writing the pilot, Frankie. I want to shop it to the networks by Monday morning.
Three sassy waitresses? Is that it? I mean, we're going to ask a sizable portion of the American public to tune in week after week to a television program whose entire premise revolves around three sassy waitresses.
You're right, college boy. This show needs something else. A hook.
How about a wisecracking middle-aged man? He could own the diner where the three sassy waitresses all work.
A wisecracking middle-aged man? That's just what this show needs. Write it up. By this time next year, America will be in love with single mother widow waitress and her two sassy waitress friends.
Wait. That's not what I meant. Where does the character development come from? On either of these shows, why are the waitresses sassy? Why don't the law enforcement officials ever manage to arrest the Southern boys for speeding? How can we ask the American people to care about shows with such obviously flimsy premises?
Well, la-dee-da. I suppose you've got something more educated to offer the American public.
As a matter of fact, I do.
Sock it to me, college boy.
Well, I've been playing with an idea. A morality play of sorts. With a rather complex character arc concerning a teacher.
You mean like my teacher in multiracial inner-city high school students? Is your teacher also a wisecracker?
Actually, he has cancer. And he needs to make a lot of money to leave to his family before he dies, so he uses his skills as a chemist to get into the narcotics trade. Over the series arc, he becomes more and more despicable, until by the show's end, he's destroyed everyone around him, including the very family he'd originally become a bad guy to protect.
Is this a joke?
He's on the pot, isn't he? Tell me he's on the pot.
Wesley, I can assure you that the American public does not now, nor will it ever, have any interest in watching a show about a high school chemistry teacher who becomes a drug dealer. It's bad. It's very bad. It would break any network that ran it.
What a stupid idea, Wesley. You might as well pitch a show about nothing.
Well, actually...
Why don't you take your ideas and smoke them, Reefer Monkey? We've had enough of you for one day. What about you, Frank? What other ideas do you have?
Well, this one might be a little risque for prime time. This show is about roommates.
How many roommates?
Three of them.
Three roommates. I love it already. Well, what's the catch, Frankie? There's gotta be a catch. A hook.
Well, two of the roommates are women. And the other one? He's a man.
Frankie, wait a minute. The summer of love is long over. Do you expect the American public to believe that a landlord would allow a trio containing two women and one man to cohabitate under the same roof?
Yeah, Frank, there's gotta be a catch.
I know. I mean, no landlord would stand for an arrangement so obviously fraught with sexual potential. I keep getting stuck on how to get around that.
Gee, Frank, why don't you have the man pretend to be gay to circumvent the landlord's obvious expectations?
Wait a minute, college boy. When you said gay, tell me you meant happy. You meant happy, right?
No, Galinda, I mean gay as in a homosexual.
Get out! You're fired! I don't care who your father is!
No, wait a minute, Frank. I think the college boy might be onto something. You mean to say that this male roommate is only pretending to be gay to fool the landlord?
Sure, why not?
So, he's not actually a gay?
Whatever you say.
That means that the show could be fraught with the possibility of heterosexual hijinks, using the male character's feigned homosexuality as cover of some sort.
It just might work. It just might work.
College boy, you're brilliant. Come here, give me a hug.
Don't touch me.
You've got some pretty far out ideas, kid. There might be a future for you in the TV business yet.
So what was the show about nothing you were talking about?
Forget it. I don't think you'd understand.
on or no, I'm on.
You're totally on.
Yeah, nobody, you know, nobody, nobody's calling in, so I'm just going to read from my Facebook page.
Your Facebook page?
Oh, look. You know, somebody put up a picture of a kitty.
Oh,
that's
kitty.
Funny.
Right.
I'm gonna,
awesome.
I'm gonna like that. I'm gonna like.
You should totally like that.
I'm gonna totally like. I like that.
Has anyone had an opinion and then they saw something and then they were like, "Whoa"?
Yeah, you know that happened. Somebody they thought this was the case until that turned out to be the case.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And there's, look, here's a weird trick that I can use to do something.
Is there something that like? Watch this and get chills.
Hey, what happens when a puppet takes penis enlargement pills? You ever wonder about that?
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
Do the fingers get bigger?
It could. Anything could happen,
uh-huh.
Really.
Cozy.
Anyway, our number is 503-231-8187. We're having a down night. I think
it's the election blues.
I think it's it's crammed between the candy come down. In the election.
It's a sad time between candy come down and election
night. And every election just gets worse and worse, in my opinion.
Totally.
Am I allowed to have that opinion?
Worse.
It's just, this country's moving crazy right. Uh-oh, someone's flashing. What was
someone's
that?
Flashing.
Something happened.
Somebody's at the door, I think.
Uh-oh, well, let him in. It's probably
right.
Ralph.
Probably is Ralph.
Ralph, by the way, they're having a great Ubu show coming up.
Hello.
If you happen to be listening, you should definitely listen to that Ubu show. They're basically going to be dealing with some of our listeners who call in. And
there was the pizza delivery guy. Just let him in.
People think that there are Satanists running this station, but that's not true.
They're not, you know, these hippies aren't organized enough to actually read the Satanic Bible.
Exactly. There's some good stuff
in
that.
There's some big words in that book.
You know, you get like 10 pages in, and then you just put it on the toilet tank, and
exactly.
You leave it there.
And then they forget about it.
Yeah.
Short-term memory loss.
I stole a copy of the Necronomicon from a library. It was like $850.
I know. You know how long that book is? It's like 3,000 pages.
It's long.
I know.
All right, we got another sketch coming on now. Put it on.
Let's go back to Facebook.
All right.
Like it again.
She sold more than 75 million albums worldwide. But beneath the ethereal piano solos and multi-layered vocal tracks lies a more complex persona. Today on Behind the Sound, Enya. Enya was born Ethna Ní Briainin in County Donegal, Ireland. The sixth of nine children from a revered musical family, Enya soon revealed a talent that impressed her lyrical siblings, but her go-it-alone style proved less than harmonious. Behind the Sound spoke with Enya's sister and former bandmate, Moya Brennan.
Even in the early days of the band, Enya was never what you'd call a team player. We all wanted to be on stage, of course. We were a musical family. But Enya wanted the stage all for herself. Sometimes in the middle of a performance, she'd just launch into an unplanned vocal solo, you know, for 8 or 9 minutes. Nothing to do whatever with what we were performing. Strange languages, too. Elvish? Klingon? Sometimes I think she was just making it up.
Growing increasingly frustrated with their sister's linguistic eccentricity, in 1984, the other members of Clannad simply stopped telling Enya about upcoming performances, freezing her out of the band. It was a resentment that Enya would never let go of. As her solo career took off, Enya never again performed with her family.
Look, I'll be the first to admit that the way we handled letting Enya go was wrong, but the way she treated us as her star rose and ours fell. There were some lean times for Clannad. We gave Enya her start. You think she could have returned the favor? At the very least, maybe let us do some of the backup vocals on one of her albums. Did you know Shepherd's Moon has over 500 layers of her own voice? Who layers their own voice 500 times without thinking of their family?
Enya's meteoric rise to the stratosphere of the New Age charts came at a price. Enya found herself relying on increasingly frequent doses of homeopathic medicine. Enya's former producer and manager, Nicky Ryan, spoke to Behind the Sound about his role in Enya's addiction.
I'll always feel guilty for introducing Enya to the flower essences. It was the 80s, of course, and everybody was doing them. A drop of scarlet monkey flower for anxiety here. 2 drops of cosmos for inspiration there. During the release of Watermark, I noticed Enya seemed ungrounded, so I gave her a couple of drops of white chestnut before an interview. I'd no idea she'd start abusing the stuff, taking 5, 6, or 7 different tinctures at a time. She was out of control.
But her audience knew nothing about Enya's struggle with homeopathic medicine. all the world seemed to care about was the dulcet melodies of an increasingly introverted New Age diva. As demand for Enya grew, her demands on venues became increasingly bizarre. Behind the Sound spoke with Al DeMella, head of catering and talent management at New York's Carnegie Hall.
I'm used to rock and roll stars that are crazy riders. A bowl of M&Ms, all the red ones taken out, precise number of flower petals floating in a tub of pastrami in the dressing room, a bronze chocolate fondue pot cast in the exact likeness of Lyndon Johnson. But Enya, she went too far. Said she needed her dressing room arranged by her personal feng shui consultant, someone named C.F. Wong from Hong Kong. She insisted that crystals be placed at cardinal points throughout the room, something to do with an astrological phenomenon. But the real kicker was the drinking water. She made us fly in, at our own expense, 10-gallon drums from a small village in India. The water had been harvested from children's tears. She said it was the only water that had the proper vibrational frequency for her to drink, something about classical music being piped into the local orphanage. Of course we complied. We had to. She was Enya. But getting the water flown in took an extra few days due to a flood in Mumbai, and in the end, Miss Enya canceled. Apparently she doesn't fly during the waning moon.
But rigorous feng shui demands were just the tip of the New Age iceberg driving a wedge between Enya and the rest of the world. Enya's need for artistic isolation led her to build her own private Oz, whose yellow brick road only a select few were permitted to follow. And these select few had to follow the rules.
It was always Enya's way or the highway. During the 3 years I worked as a personal assistant, I was in a constant state of fear. She would make these insane demands on me, on all the staff. 1 year, she instituted a new rule that everybody who worked for her had to dress like the weather. Nobody in the castle knew what that meant, but Enya never clarified anything. We tried to figure it out, wearing gray on rainy days and so on, but it was impossible. One day, there was hail, and the chef was wearing a cream-colored apron. We never saw him again. She was a very private person, but also incredibly demanding. I had to practically be invisible and ready to leave her presence at a moment's notice. Everyone who worked for Enya knew that when the boss said sail away, just sailed away. Every time Mercury went into retrograde, she insisted the staff take a vow of silence. For weeks, nobody would speak, even when she wasn't around. Everyone knew the walls of Enya's castle had ears.
Enya's increasingly eccentric behavior was apparent to other celebrities. In 1996, Enya became involved in charity work with U2's Bono. Their professional relationship soon soured amidst charges of one-upmanship made by the veteran musical do-gooder. Behind the Sound spoke to Bono by satellite phone from a remote village in Nepal.
Look, Enya's heart is always in the right place. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've always had respect for her and all that. But keep digging, man. Their children buried under the rubble in that collapsed school building. I can feel them in my heart, crying for air, little hands scratching against rocks and stones, me mouth gasping for air. Dig, man, go on, dig. Jesus, where was I? Are you Enya? It all started well enough, you know. You know, it's like we all had the same goals, the lads and Enya and I, we all had the same goals, giving up, you know, trying to save the world and all that. But got so bloody competitive with her, you know, the lads and I would just do a benefit gig, just, I don't know, raise money from Mongolian tsunami survivors or something like that, do a 3-hour concert, raise £2 million, Enya would come in the next day, get off a private helicopter, play half a set, and triple the take. It was frustrating, I tell you. What do you mean there's never been a school there? Well, dig anyway, you're bound to strike water soon, and Lord knows another well would be welcome in this parched, godforsaken land. Breaks my heart to hear the children's throats cracked and dry, crying for a sip of water. Dig, dig, man. Come on, dig. Now, where was I again? Oh, yeah, Enya. Anyway, the breaking point was when you two spent 3 months putting together a 3-day concert to raise money to buy, I think it was prosthetic limbs for Belizean frostbite victims, something like that. We raised £3.2 million to alleviate their suffering. Enya flew in the next day, landed her hovercraft next to our stage, sang that bloody Sail Away song, dropped the mic and walked away. Raised £12 million. She didn't need to rub my nose in it. After that, me and the lads, we decided we would never work with her again, no matter what the cost.
But through it all, there was one person Enya considered an equal, someone with whom she could expose her innermost self. American blues sensation Blind Willie Can't Smell Lemon Hatchet. The two had met backstage at an awards program where Blind Willie was being honored for his work with the charity group he'd founded, Hobos Without Borders. Sensing in the bluesman a kindred spirit, Anya suggested that the two go on tour together.
I'll tell you what, we were on tour back in October. So I got to know her on a personal manner of speaking. She was pretty nice. So, oh boy, some of them freaky, dippy magic potion type things, yeah. Now, you know, Blind Willie, I'm not too particular about what it is I drink now. But, she had some stuff, cosmos sort of thing. Oh, give me the heebie-jeebies, oh boy. I took one drop, now, whoa, I saw her about to drink a spoonful. And I'm like, whoa, and you slow down. Now, you have to understand one thing. Nobody tells Anya to slow down.
Even the notoriously hard-partying Willie was unable to turn a blind eye towards Anya's increasingly out-of-control use of homeopathic medicine.
Then she gets with the pink monkey flower and the pretty face. Now, these are concentrated essences of these particular urban substances and they're brewed out in a Tibetan laboratory in Peru.
After several attempts at intervention, Blind Willie, true to form, snuck out the back door of Anya's life, leaving her at a Wichita truck stop.
She got all down in the hole, honey, pretty face, you know. I saw the damage it was doing to her energy field, and it just broke her brain. I thought it did, so I had to call off the tour early. I just went home, which is a bushy sort of place, and I downed some sterno and I found my own peace.
The two would never meet again. Abandoned by the only true friend she'd had in years, Anya began to realize her addiction had spun out of control. But the worst was yet to come. Still in a state of shock following Willie's departure, Anya learned of her inadvertent role in the now infamous Stockholm candle disaster.
I tell you, I've been a fireman a long time, but I never saw anything like what happened that night. Local kids started the fire, said he'd heard voices after playing some Anya record backwards. I think it was Memory of Trees. I don't know. It took 12 hours to burn. No lives were lost, but by the end of the night, the factory was in ruins. The factory could have been saved. The fire was described as slow and mellow by eyewitnesses. The firefighters were hindered in our efforts by an overwhelming need to express our feelings and eat Ben and Jerry's. It was so relaxing to look at. I slept like a baby that night. The whole valley was covered for weeks with ash and sandalwood smell. To this day, everybody in town feels, I don't know, melancholy?
News of the disaster sent Anya over the edge. Taking with her only a day bag filled with crystals, her jade neti pot, and a half-ounce bottle of Bach flower remedy to taper off, Anya walked away from her tour bus to begin her voyage of redemption on a lonely stretch of Texas highway. It was on that highway that fate again intervened by putting Anya in the path of discredited American self-help guru, James Arthur Ray. Ray had been driving east in an attempt to stay ahead of legal charges following the deaths of three participants at one of Ray's famed Sweat Your Way to Harmony camps in the Arizona desert.
I didn't know where I was going. All I knew is that if I didn't get out of Arizona, I'd be doing time. When I saw her standing on the highway, I figured she was just heading to Burning Man. I had no idea who she really was. I had never heard of Anya or her music.
On the long drive east, Anya and Ray would become close. Very close. Ray, himself no stranger to the perils of homeopathic medicine and crystal abuse, offered the kind of spiritual counsel that Anya needed. After a powerful cleansing sweat in a Motel 6 sauna in Durham, North Carolina, Anya announced that she had not merely kicked flower essences once and for all, but that she would also give up touring forever. Grateful to Ray for all he had done, she invited the American spiritual leader to return with her to Ireland to act as her personal guru. But Ray was so inspired by Anya's honesty that he decided instead to return to Arizona to face his own demons.
That might not have been the best idea, since I wound up going to jail for a couple of years, losing my reputation and pretty much all my money. In hindsight, going to Ireland with Anya might have been smarter. You wouldn't happen to have her...
Back on home turf and feeling purified for the first time in decades, Anya felt the creative spark alight anew. She began work on her most ambitious project yet, a 7-hour New Age rock opera sung entirely in Pig Latin. She walked a lonely road, so very far from home. Though darkness had come, Anya believed. And through it all, this new age diva has surely found her way. Next week on Behind the Sound, how Pokemon cards, Pop Rocks, and sibling rivalry nearly destroyed teen band Hanson.
All right, are we on the air now? All right, now look. While Hazel cues up the final shutdown music.
And it's not easy with, you know, fuzzy fingers.
It's not. I think I don't even know if anybody is listening, so I'm just going to. No, it's not there. Before there. No, go before there. I'd like to recap. Maybe. Could be. I don't know. Maybe. I'd like to recap the last four episodes of The Walking Dead.
What?
For our listeners out there who may not have caught up on The Walking Dead.
No, I could recap. Zombie death. Right. Not very pretty.
Yes.
Some soap opera antics.
Yes, there were some people who had a very rough time of it. There was some cannibalism. After that, there was some human drama. And I've actually got to catch up on the last episode while I fold up my laundry tonight.
Yes.
That's my little ritual
you are
there.
The laundry, aren't you?
I am not the laundry. I am folding.
Yes. You know, Floyd and I, we have quite the collection of clothing.
We've got toys, yes. You know, puppet toys, if you know what I'm trying to say. You know, googly eyes. That's just the start.
That's right.
So coming up in about 4 minutes, it's the Ubu Hour.
Yes, and there's wild rumors we've heard.
Wild rumors about Satanists who have taken over the station. Crowleyites. I'm losing my voice here. My voice.
You know, it's all that political protesting we did down in Pioneer Square.
That's right. Nobody will listen to us. Let puppets drive.
You know, maybe it was because our signs were small, but yeah. Puppets need to drive.
You know what?
With pallet measure 88, you will.
It took us off.
Contraire.
They took us off.
No,
we were waiting
puppets
for that.
Were originally written in, but we were taken off a committee.
You know what? I don't have a birth certificate. I just have made in Taiwan. Label.
It specifically wrote out puppets.
Yeah.
We had a clause, but they took us out in committee. So
I keep hanging out over at Bud Clark's place, hoping that, you know, get some political connections. But
try to convince him to run again, maybe.
He let me touch his beard once.
Wow.
Yeah, I just made that up. It's not true.
Right.
All right. So let's see if we can run the outro, as
the
they
outro,
say.
Yes.
Let's see if you've got this right. It's
right.
It's the night of many errors tonight.
You know. We're professionals here.
That's right. You know, send us an email at soylentcomedy@gmail.com.
That'd be lovely. All right. Let's see.
Let's see if it's right. And don't take off my mic just in case you've messed it up. Just go on.
You know.
Click.
Touche.
Hit play. Nope. In the wrong place. You're at the beginning of Soylent Green. Let's gonna go to the end.
Oh,
there you are.
All right, there.
Try there. Yeah, see what happens. See what happens.
This is like tech.
It's really hard to operate a wireless mouse.
It is so difficult.
Puppet Radio Theater was performed by Joshua Samuel Brown,
Larry,
Twilight Callisti,
Joe Hill's Ghost,
Alistair,
Rolf,
Victor Rattlehead,
and Arky.
And also a whole lot of other people that I hope we've gotten their voices down. If not, you'll just have to call us and we'll get you next month on Puppet Radio Theater. Is a production of KBOO 90.7 Portland, Oregon.
Check us out at SoylentCo.com.
Yeah!
Puppet Radio Theater's theme music, Candy Girl, is performed by the immortal, legendary Z-Drift.
Tune in to KBOO on Tuesday, November 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. for election night coverage. Lisa Loving, Delphine Crescenzo, and Don Merrill will host 3 hours of talk about the elections from the KBOO perspective and include special guests, KBOO reporters in the field, and members of Oregon community media phoning in from all over the state. We'll talk candidates, measures, winners-losers, voter disenfranchisement, and more. Again, that's Tuesday, November 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to announce the opening of Convergence, an audio documentary and sonic artwork by our artist-in-residence, Tessie Word. The opening will be Friday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Civilian Studios, 2210 North Lewis Avenue in Portland. Convergence examines the historical, environmental, and sociological ramifications of living in an imminent ecological disaster area, the tsunami zones of the Oregon coast near the mouth of the Columbia River. Through the use of phonographic recordings, radio transmissions, and original music, Convergence explores and interprets the cultural implications and the psychic terrain of daily life in the tsunami zone. Again, that's Convergence by KBOO Artist-in-Residence Tessie Word, opening Friday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Civilian Studios, 2210 North Lewis Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Okay, tape is running.
Join me, Robert Crawley, on the Ubu Hour on Monday, November 3rd at 11 p.m. as I share an investigative report of a secret cult within the local Portland community.
Part of the followers' big thing is that they do like to subtly, psychologically, or overtly terrorize people.
Okay.
And I've said enough.
This in-depth investigation will even expose how this shadowy cult has infiltrated a certain media source in our local area.
And I know for a fact that there are quite a number of people that volunteer at... We're affiliated as followers.
That's 11 p.m. November 3rd on Monday night on the Ubu Hour.
I'm kicking these people out of the closet because I've had to deal with them myself. We're not supposed to play that one.
Shut it off.
We're not supposed to play that one.
Okay. Cue mic one. You're on.
We regret that due to its content,